You know, David, I'm a little offended by what you said. You said, my work's cut out for me. I heard Brother Patterson say he had a year to look at his lesson. I had 3 days. I appreciate you inviting me, brother. Thank you very much. Hope. It's a word that everybody loves, yet nobody really understands. We use that word a lot, and we don't even really consider what it means. In my many years of working down at the Miami International Airport, there's a part of the airport that had all these different words made out of flowers, and they were hanging on the walls way up high. And boy, you could always count on people stopping and taking a picture of those. There's always somebody with their phone out taking pictures of these words up way up on the hills of the Miami airport. Half the time, if I was running through the airport, there's a flight attendant I was supervising that was in trouble, and I was having to go down there and I'd get on to them. But those words were love, peace, and hope. We talk about the world today. We talk about the condition in which the world is today. And brethren, I'll tell you, one of the main reasons why the world is the way it is today, why our nation is the way it is today, is because we live in a world, we live in a nation in particular, that has been stripped of hope. We live in a nation today. Well, really, what we live in is we're living in the fruits of Madeline Murray O'Hare's America. And living in that, we have our young people being told, this is all there is, this life is it, just go out and get as much pleasure and gratification as you can while you can, because in the end, you are going to die alone and fade off into oblivion. And because of that, that is why today, despite all the devices we have, despite how modern everything we have in this world is today, we got the highest rate of suicide among young people. People who believe there is no hope. So for the few moments I have with you, we're going to talk about being empowered by hope. I could hear the hope in David's voice when he called me 3 days ago and said, will you fill in for Brother Nelson? I almost said no, just to mess with his head, but David knows me all too well. He had hope. He probably thought to himself, well, I hope Heath calls, because I know he called me because the other 20 people he called said no. And because that happened, he probably was, in a sense, hoping that Heath would say yes. You know, children of God are asked sometimes, are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Well, I hope so. And they say it as if they don't know whether or not it is the case. Brethren, first thing I want to do very quickly is let's talk about what it means to have hope. Having hope is not saying, well, I hope so. I really don't know, but I'll go out there and say, I hope so. It's like me saying that I hope that I'll be a famous opera singer one of these days. I can tell you this, brethren, I might become many things, but an opera singer will not be one of them. That's not hope. Hope, brethren, is desire. It is anticipation. And it is expectation. That is, brethren, the question can be asked is, what do you expect? Not what do you not know and we're just going to wait and see. What do you expect the future to hold for you? You know, a man by the name of Kurt Richter did a study back in 1957. And this is a study that a lot of our PETA friends talked about a moment ago would not be too happy about. But he decided to take some lab mice and put them in a container of water and see how long they would fight for their life until they drowned. And the average amount of time that Mr. Richter found out was about 15 minutes. The mouse would fight for its life, and 15 minutes later it would finally give up and it would sink down to the bottom of the container. He wanted to try something out. So he put a mouse in, it began swimming, and about 15 minutes' time, he picked it up and took it out and set it down. And he let the mouse sit there a moment. Then he picked it up and put it back into the container. He wanted to see how long it would keep going if it had an inkling of an idea that, hey, I might eventually get out of this. He put the mouse back in, and it swam for 60 hours. That hope, that expectation that hand's got to come down here and get me again, drove that mouse to swim for 60 solid hours. Brethren, we talk about forgiveness. We talk about prayer. We talk about all these different things, faith and fellowship. What's the driving force behind those things? That I have hope. That I have an expectation. Brethren, are we just saying I hope so, not understanding what the word hope even means? Or are we saying, because God says, I am fully expecting? Because, brethren, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not me not knowing, saying I'm not sure, but boy, it'll be really great if it comes out the way I'm hoping it to be. Oh no, it's I know and I'm expecting it even though I cannot see it. How many of you are expecting, hoping for the coming of Jesus Christ? How many of us really are? Or do we just think to ourselves, oh yeah, that's something the Bible says, and we leave it there? Are we really expecting it? Are we looking forward to it? Are we hoping for it? Because as we said, brethren, this world's been stripped of hope. And brethren, the source of our hope is something we need to consider as well. What causes us to be able to look? What causes us to be able to confidently expect? And I tell you, brethren, that's one thing that we as members of the body of Christ have got to do. We need to show confidence in what we believe. Do you know you're saved? Oh, well, I hope so. That shouldn't be the response. Response should be, I've done exactly what the Lord told me to do, and I fully expect to spend an eternity with Him. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 exactly what it means to not have any hope. In Ephesians 2:12, he says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. You want to know what hopelessness is? Hopelessness is being without God. What powers us? What ought to empower us? It ought to be that hope. And it is an exclusive hope. It is a hope that only those who are in Christ Jesus can even have. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. What is there? There's one body, there's one spirit. And we often don't consider this one very often. There's one hope. We have hope today. Titus 2 verses 11 through 15 tells us very plainly that our hope is something that we ought to look forward to. It's something we ought to look to with earnest, confident expectation. We confidently look for it. We confidently desire it. Our hope is an enduring hope because of its source. Because the hope begins with Christ, because our hope ends with Christ, that's what's going to help us to endure and abstain. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19? You know, we have an anchor that does what? We have an anchor that keeps the soul. What's an anchor do? It stabilizes. It keeps you going. It keeps you where you are. The Apostle Paul himself said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, you are saved by hope. Now, how in the world does hope save us? Well, much like those mice, hope is what empowers us to keep on keeping on. Hope is what empowers us to do what God has commanded us to do, and to do it joyfully, and to do it gladly. Brethren, our hope ought to be so strong. Our confidence, our knowledge of what God said, God who the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, God who, He cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. That's how we can be so confident of our hope, knowing who's the one that's given it to us in the first place. And God who cannot lie, Titus 1, 2. Because why? We're in hope of eternal life. We're expecting it. We're looking forward to it. But it ought to drive us to action. It ought to save us. It ought to activate. In other words, this hope ought to empower us to move forward regardless of how the world gets outside, regardless of what happens in my life. My life can be empowered by the hope that the Bible gives me. Because, brethren, I'll tell you this. You take a man's hope away, you take his combustion away. Hope is something by which we are fueled. You know, there's a small town up in the state of Maine. It was right on the side of a river, I believe it was. They were going to put one of those brand new electric hydraulic dams there in. And they went to this town and they said, we're going to flood you out. You all need to move. So all these people who lived in their homes, lived by this, was being told, you know, in a little while, you know, in about another year, everything you see around you is going to be at the bottom of this. So here's your provisions. You need to get ready. You need to move. An interesting thing happened. After that, the town slowly but surely got shabbier and shabbier and shabbier. Why? People stopped doing the upkeep. People stopped taking care of things. Because in their mind, what they were thinking was, well, if this is all going to be at the bottom of the lake at the end of the day, why even take care of it? Why even worry about it all? In other words, in their mind, there was no hope for this town. There was no driving force. There was no empowering force to cause them to want to look to and upkeep and try to work on what they had built for themselves. And a citizen of that town was asked by one of the major papers this question. They said, what's been going through you guys' mind? You know, this is going down. What have you been thinking? You've not been upkeeping. You've not been doing anything of this. And this is what he said. He said, where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. Because, brethren, if we don't have hope, if we do not have an empowering hope that helps us, that cares for us, I need you to reset that clock, David. Then, brethren, we have nothing to do, because we can go 40 days without food. We can go 3 days without water. We can go 8 minutes without air. But in all reality, brethren, we can't go a second without hope. Hope is what drives us. What did Paul say? If Christ be not raised, he's the source point of our hope. If Christ be not raised, we of all men are most miserable. We have a hope because of an empty tomb. That tomb were not empty. If there was a body in it today, we are all wasting our time right here, right now. Might as well leave and go do something else we would rather do. But with the 52 seconds I have left with me here, let me say this, brethren. Our hope ought to exude from us, and other people ought to see it, and we need to pass the hope. We live in a world that is desperate right now for hope. We live in a world that wants to see hope. And that's why Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer. Give an answer to who? Somebody to ask you something. Somebody to ask you what? The reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Ye are the salt of the earth. We spread that hope. And let's do it, brethren. Because that's the driving force, that's our fuel. It empowers us.